I'd like to start off by acknowledging the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognize their continuing connection to land, waters, and culture. I'd like to pay respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. And I'd also like to state that we have no conflict of interest to report regarding this study. So the National Survey of Australian Secondary Students and Adolescent Sexual Health is conducted approximately every 5 years here in Australia since 1992, and most recently it was conducted in 2018. The second to last survey was conducted in 2013, and it found that Australian secondary students received relationship and sex education, or RSE as I'll call it from now on, between years 7 and 10. They rated their RSE as only somewhat relevant, and they relied on a lot of outside resources to supplement their knowledge that they gained in the classroom and school. Their knowledge scores of sexual health-related items from the last survey was quite low, which is an indication that their school-based RSE or any information that they acquired elsewhere was either inadequate or misunderstood. Since this last survey in 2013, Australia has seen some major changes to the nationalization of all curriculum subject areas, including health and physical education, which contains materials on RSE. So in this presentation, I'm going to present the most recent results from the 2018 survey, and I'll briefly compare them to previous findings from 2013. So this survey was a mixed method survey. A total of 6,180 students formed a diverse cross-sectional sample covering all states, territories, and school sectors. Eligible participants included all students in years 10, 11, and 12 in Australia. The survey included quantitative measures, so including contextual factors of RSE at school, so for example, who taught it to them, what year it was received. Perceptions of RSE at school, so for example, their relevance rating of their RSE. And then finally, HIV, STI, and HPV knowledge. So these were yes or no items testing correct knowledge. The survey also included a qualitative measure, which was an open-ended question asking about their experiences of RSE at school. So I'll start off by going through the quantitative findings first. Most participants in this sample reported receiving their RSE in years in HPE, so in health and physical education, in years 7 and 8 and or 9 and 10, most often delivered by a teacher. And half of them found it relevant, half of them found it less so. Yeah, there is a bit of a problem with this button. Oh. How do I go back? Yeah. Okay, I'm not sure how to go back here. Okay, so we conducted an independent samples t-test to examine the variation in knowledge scores in HIV, STI, and HPV knowledge among male and female students. So while in 2013, female students scored higher than male students in all three knowledge areas, male students in 2018 actually scored higher than females in HIV knowledge. Females, however, continued to score higher in STI and HPV knowledge, and females scored considerably higher in HPV knowledge in particular, which is probably not surprising given that females are more likely to engage with their GPs around this issue, and also the HPV vaccine came out for girls first. Overall scores, however, have remained moderate to low since 2013. We also conducted a test to investigate variation in knowledge scores among students who had and who had not received RSE in school. So students who had received RSE in school scored higher only in HIV and STI knowledge. There was no statistically significant difference in HPV knowledge among both of these groups. Whereas in 2013, students who had received RSE in school scored higher in all three knowledge areas. And again, overall scores between these two groups have remained moderate to low since 2013. Then we wanted to determine any differences in knowledge scores among year 10, 11, and 12 students. And we found that knowledge scores progressively increased in each year level, with year 12 students holding the highest scores in all of these knowledge areas. And this is slightly inconsistent with results indicating that participants received their RSE between years 7 and 10, because if that were the case, we would expect participants in years 10 and 11 to have the highest scores in these knowledge areas, but they don't. And this was the case in 2013 as well, so these results remain unchanged. And then finally, we wanted to see what contributed the most to these knowledge scores. So we ran a regression looking at age, school type, sexual attraction, relevance of RSE, gender, and year in school. And we can see here that school year made the largest contribution to HIV and STI knowledge scores, while gender made the largest contribution to HPV knowledge in particular, which again reinforces the previous findings. And again, these results remain unchanged from 2013. So moving on to the qualitative findings, we did a thematic analysis of responses to the open-ended question asking about students' experience of RSE at school, and this revealed seven distinct themes. So key quotes for each theme are listed on the upcoming slides. I'm not going to read them all out, but they'll just serve to illustrate one of the main points for each theme. Half of the participants in the sample made a comment on whether their RSE had been useful and or relevant to them. Those who found it useful or relevant commented on a broad range of topics related to sexual health and sexual and romantic intimacy. Others found their RSE not useful or irrelevant to them due to a variety of different factors, such as too much or too little specificity, a lack of LGBT content, or due to religious teachings that were just incompatible with their own beliefs. A quarter of participants made some mention of the delivery of their school-based RSE. These comments consisted of when, how often, how sufficient, and how long RSE had been for them or should be provided to students according to them. Many students discussed the timing of their RSE in relation to their age or their school year, and provided their opinions on better timing of the course material. Students had different experiences with the frequency of their RSE, but agreed that the more often, the better to retain information for them. And overall, participants agreed that there just needs to be more of it and that it should last longer. Nearly half of all participants mentioned the content of their RSE. Some said that there was a lack of topics covered, and others said the opposite. So there were many inconsistencies in what participants reported learning in their classrooms, which demonstrates varied content from classroom to classroom across the country. LGBT content was especially lacking for participants, and this was concerning for those participants who wanted to engage in safe, non-heterosexual sexual activities. A quarter of participants expressed knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs about their own or other students' RSE. Participants commented on their own knowledge regarding RSE topics, with some expressing that their RSE only outlined things we already knew. This is a direct quote. Others admitted the opposite, made me understand that I was probably just as confused as everyone else. Many other comments included assumptions and beliefs about other students in relation to RSE. Some participants indicated their school type, whether Christian, government, or private school, and mentions of school type generally included a negative comment about their RSE experience at that school, and this was particularly at faith-based schools. Some participants discussed their perceived effectiveness of the person who had taught them RSE at school. Negative comments described RSE teachers as unmotivated, out of touch with young people, and not comfortable talking about any sexual subject. This is a direct quote as well. And several participants mentioned that some teachers actively avoided or rushed through RSE topics. And then finally, in our seventh theme. Some participants indicated that their inadequate RSE lessons led them to search for information relevant or pertinent to them beyond the classroom. And the internet was by far the most mentioned source of information for these participants. Other sources of information found beyond the classroom included their mothers, their friends, personal experience, and pornography. Searching for information beyond the classroom was especially common among LGBT participants whose school-based RSE was just not relevant to their needs. There we go. There were some positive experiences that participants mentioned regarding their school-based RSE, and some of these are on this slide. Usually positive experiences that they reported had to do with the usefulness or relevance, the content that was delivered to them in the classroom, and the effectiveness of their teacher. So just to sum up, most student experiences remain unchanged since the 2013 survey, despite the release of the National Curriculum in Health and Physical Education, which is meant to include RSE. There's really no change in the qualitative comments since 2013. We found the same themes when we did a thematic analysis at that time as well. Students do clearly value school-based RSE, but their comments reflect inconsistent teaching. Their knowledge scores have remained moderate to low since 2013, and year 12 students continue to hold the highest knowledge scores, even though most report receiving their RSE in years 7 through 10. So I'd just like to acknowledge and thank our participants for their invaluable contributions to the study. I'd like to thank our many colleagues who supported the design, implementation, and reporting of the study, as well as the financial support of the Australian Government Department of Health. Thank you.